You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Friday, like everybody. TGIF. It's another Friday here on the V Life podcast here with the one and only ADZ and Miss C Bank, Mr. E, aka Anthony Anderson, the real Anthony Anderson.
He faking. I'm not.
Lovely comedian is still on his hiatus, but we will get with him soon. And we have a special guest.
That's right.
With us this evening, and that is Mr. Patrick, the mayor of Inkster. Oh, let me say his last name. Patrick Wimberly.
All right.
The mayor of Inkster.
All right.
And how are you? And his associates.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you're getting the energy right, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. Gotta bring it nice and smooth.
That's right.
How are you guys doing this evening?
All right.
We appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have you here.
Absolutely.
Today on the Be Life podcast, we were actually going to be talking about Black progression in our metropolitan cities like Inkster and Ecorse and Ipsy and Detroit and so on and so forth. And we would love to get your perspective fresh on the scene here, right out the gate.
Yeah,
you know, so we want to talk about that and get some of your perspectives and everybody else's today. How do you feel about that topic?
Oh, listen, I love it. I'm just excited just to be here. First of all, I just want to thank you, Anthony, the real Anthony Anderson.
The real E-Money, yeah. Anthony Anderson.
The real deal. Real deal.
And of course, you know, beautiful young ladies, thank you so much just for, you know, just the energy that's just put into the room. And then, of course, my guys, these are like my four horses. We're the four horsemen together.
Yes.
Like just real pillars of the Winning with Wimberly team.
So who are these guys?
Well, you know, I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Okay.
That's what,
you
know.
Okay. Next to you, who's that?
My name is Ty Wimberly.
Hello.
Ty.
What are you, what's going on with you, Ty? What's on your agenda? What do you do?
You got to talk to me. Actually,
what are you into?
Overseer. Overseer, you know what I'm saying? Access and making sure our team is winning.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Okay.
Right now. You know,
appreciate that.
What other things coming?
Okay.
This guy's so
humble.
I know it's more to it. It's more sauce to it than that. And he didn't want to give us the whole sauce. He just gave us a little bit.
Right. Just a little bit.
To the left of AD.
All right. My name's Antonio.
Antonio?
They call me Antonio, right? Everything. I am the community liaison to the city of Inkster from the mayor's office. And, okay. What I do is help bridge the gap and keep people connected when they have concerns that the mayor can't get to immediately. I help them follow through on that so no one's left behind in the city of Inkster.
Awesome.
Okay, that's
awesome. An important rep.
Mr. Rob, y'all. Mr. T. Wembley and Mr. Rob. That's what's up. Next to him is
Gary Johnson is my name. I'm assistant to the mayor. And whatever he need done behind the scene and up front, I get it done for him, you know. Phone call away at all times.
Right hand.
One washes the other, as they say.
Yeah, you know, the main thing when we talk about, you know, community building is really, you know, I believe is just having a strong base.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about building the car, you know, you can have the body of the car, but if you don't have the right engine, you know, the right wheels, you know.
Of course,
exactly. You know, it just don't work. So these guys, I mean, they really keep me not only motivated but inspired to want to do more, to be more within the community. So I'm just excited to, I guess, to just be a part of what you guys are doing. And really just, hey, I just love the conversation of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So wonderful. I'm ready to get into it whenever.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's dive on in there. All right. So lately, you know, we all have been hearing this G word, gentrification, in all of our really metropolitan cities across the country. So it's like, you know, I feel like it's an opportunity for minorities, black minorities, that is, but it still seems to be like it's a tall ladder. You have to go through a lot of. It's like you only pick a couple, like this and this one. You know, like I want to know, like, what can we do, or you know, what can be done to try to bridge that gap? You know, so there are more opportunities. You know, like I did go to a meeting a couple months ago about social equity. I think, you are familiar. And we were just talking about just here in the state of Michigan how the licensing laws on cannabis is so tight for minorities. Like, they can't get in, you know. And other states, they're able to get in, and there's more opportunity, there's more room to try to grow and build an economic system for, you know, our culture.
Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't want to dominate the, the conversation as it relates to, you know, just really social equity, you know, overall. I think it really has to do with a systemic problem, you know, as a people. You know, when we talk about, you know, just the African-American race in America, we have to be very mindful that it's some systemic things that's been happening with us, you know. Right. And the number one thing I believe is economic empowerment. Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about truly having an economic base within the country, we know that we're still the minority, you know. And unfortunately, you know, with the minority, it comes so many disadvantages. Yes. So when you talk about gentrification within in the community, when you talk about social inequality within the community as it relates to the cannabis industry, I believe from my perspective that it's just us not being able to be in position to be able to own our own as it relates to having owned our own land in the past, you know, and truly creating culture within the community to not only value what, you know, we've lost, but understand where we're going in between, you know,
and truly
having a base, a foundation of economic power that we can then in turn be viable within our own communities. So I just think that when we talk about, you know, other cultures or other ethnic backgrounds coming into, you know, our community doing business because of systemic problems along the way as it relates to, I believe in the Willie Lynch syndrome within our people from, you know, really just a division overall and truly not being able to come together as a people to take care of one another, to be able to really have that base within our community that now we're talking about legacy wealth and legacy building.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I call that the Nickelback syndrome myself. Everybody wants something for $5 but don't want to put the work in.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I call it the Nickelback. It's everybody want a Nickelback.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they want a 20 for $5.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, it's an analogy for me. Just, it's just, that's how I look at it. Like everybody wants you to give but don't want to get to it. You want, you can give you, so I can give you some of this. No way for us to get to it if we all not working together and trying to come up with a common ground or some commonality on something. You know what I mean? So I always just look at it as that. It's a nickel bag effect to me. You know, like the old Negro spiritual, those days are over. To me.
That's real. Right.
To me, it's a new day. You know, you know, you can utilize those things and take the words and put them into play, but to me, some of that is like, it's like wait broke the bridge. How long we gonna keep waiting? How long we gonna keep, you know, until the bridge, till the bridge break, then we got to pull each other up, and then that's when the turmoil comes, because we got to try to pull each other up. Then you got people pulling each other down.
That's right.
In a fight.
That's right.
And that's what my next, where I was heading to next is that what are millennials or young people? Like, of course, I have seen some that maybe went to college, maybe have a decent two-parent background with a, you know, education. They may band together with other people they may have went to college with to create a business and to create an opportunity for themselves. Okay. But when it comes to the youth and the millennials in the inner cities and the ghettos, quote-unquote, I want to know, like, how can we start, or, you know, to get them to start understanding how they should put their money together and also try to create generational wealth instead of trying to get it right now, and see it for the long term. Like, they like to go out and go to the clubs and, you know, they want to go shopping and wear the Jordans. When are we going to, you know, can we create programs or show them how to invest in those stocks instead of just buying the clothes? You know, learn how to invest in those stocks so you can make money off the same thing that you're purchasing. Just like, you know, some of our other ethnic counterparts.
Yeah. And, you know, guys, again, I'm not about to dominate this whole conversation. That's what I'm about to
jump in, fellas. You know, yeah.
It's important for us to, as we really, like, talk about bridging the gap. And I like what Tony was saying earlier as it relates to his position within the community. It's important for us to look at every aspect of what's truly happening. Like, so even with millennials, right, I believe that millennials are super dope in what they're doing, because everything that, you know, to be honest, I believe for the most part, the highest percentage of millennials, they're thinking about independence and truly having an independent thoughts, you know, exactly. Mm-hmm. And truly building things on their own, you know, and because of technology, it does make it quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, we definitely live in a microwave society, and we have to understand that, like Anthony was saying about the old Negro spiritual mentality. It's like now, you know, just in our community, because we haven't been, you know, truly, like, as it relates to building foundation and having those key building blocks within the community as a whole, we're behind.
Right.
And we're lagging behind as it relates to the mentality. So for us to be able to, again, be able to really show the millennials how to do it, we got to respect what they're doing. We got to respect what they're doing. And at the same time, we got to get ourselves together too, you know?
Yeah, because they are. Mm-hmm. One thing I can say that the millennials are, they're on a faster pace.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
They take what they can do right now and go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what the consequences, I might go to jail, I might get in trouble. They don't think about consequences now. Now, we used to think about consequences. We're a little older.
Right.
We think about kids and we got to go home. We got people at home that's depending on us. Mm-hmm. But some of the millennials now, they just go.
Yeah.
I don't even think they think about it.
Right. I think we just got to change our mind state as far as, like, you know, when we get money, we think that we always got to buy something and we always want to purchase something when we should try to create things to sell instead of trying to buy something with the money. I think we need to start teaching our kids, like, you know, when we do have money, it ain't about just spending money. It's about having money and keeping money.
And
that's very important.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And creating products. Let's start creating our own products that we can push.
Banks.
Let's start, you know what I'm saying, instead of getting the money and saying, let me buy something.
Right.
Let me, you know what I'm saying, keep my money and let's try to create something that we can turn back around and sell. I think that's really important.
Right. It is. Yeah. I think
we really have to start right there.
Mm-hmm. But I guess it comes with that mentality too, like that we're keeping up with the Joneses.
Right. Right.
And then too, understanding that because of, like, the generations, you're talking about 400 years of oppression.
Right.
You know? So you have to really be mindful of that when you're talking about a people feeling entitled to something, right? So you've been oppressed for 400 years and then now you're free. But you think about it, you know, when you talk about freedom in America, you know, really, are we truly free?
Right.
You know, like, and so, but now it's like you're set free. Mm-hmm. So now you have your own individual thoughts, your own individual minds. You know, as a people, you forgot that we really, like, we here together.
Right.
And we're fighting on our own. So when the lights come on, it's like roaches. Now we all done separated. Mm-hmm. We all done spread out. We all done ran to our own corners, you know, instead of boiling together and truly looking at what's happening in the community as it relates to how, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, you know, being truly astute and understanding what it is that is needed within our community and respecting each other as we go along and as we build, you know, and because again, the entitlement part, now it's like we've been oppressed for so long. Now we're free. Right. Now it's like, hey, I got to get mine. You get yours.
Right.
Oh, I got mine. You get yours.
Yeah. Right. Like you, say, when the lights come on, I think we literally scared of the light.
Like, there you go.
I think that's what the problem is.
There you go.
We don't want to take what comes with being in the light.
Yep, for sure.
I think a lot of us really fight that. Mm-hmm. It's, and like you say, a lot of years of beat down, it's a mentality thing. You know, that's like they say, the only reason we have heart problems and diseases and stuff like that is because we're still doing the same things that our ancestors did.
Wow.
That's real. We're still eating greens.
Right.
Still eating macaroni and cheese and chitlins.
Wow. Right.
Because it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. Right. So you don't know where your heart disease and all that comes from because you, it's part of us
it's
now.
In you. Right.
It's in you, you know, right. because you've been programmed to eat barbecue this and barbecue that and extra sauce, heavy
fried
cheese,
fried
this.
Right.
Because once you've been into that, programmed into that mentality, it's what your body is used to. So it's just the same way with life. You know, they program you into this is where you have to stay.
But with knowing that information, there's now a time for you to break that cycle.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Take
and so with that in mind, I wanted to know with, you know, the community liaison, what are some programs that you're helping, that you have created to or are talking about in order to get those youth to start thinking in a way to break the cycle?
Well, what we're doing right now is something that we've never done and we've been talking about doing for decades. We're bringing a community college to the city of Inkster to where more people will have more access to education opposed to have to bus out and ride out so far, even out to Detroit, this area to go to school.
Right.
So now they'll be able to walk across the street or, you know, catch the bus or something like that to the area and still be able to get schooled and get a degree, a certificate and different things, business, maintenance and all the things that they have in the programs they're going to have, they're going to, immediate jobs assistance as soon as they leave the class. So that's the one thing we're looking forward to.
Good.
Yeah, so I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to the chancellor over at Wayne County Community College.
Yes, sir.
And our Marla. Esteemed trustee, Marla Edwards Wheeler.
Shout out.
Professor. Yeah, so, you know, just when we talk about education, you know, and truly, you know, having an awareness of education, not just academia, you know, because academia is just one part of education.
Right.
You know, when you talk about, you know, etiquette and truly understanding how to present yourself, you know, when we talk about, you know, going out for a job, well, how does that look?
Yes.
You know, when we walk into an interview, how do you conduct yourself? You know, what is the expectations? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you were saying, you know, how you eat. You know, and what you put in your body, you know, and really being mindful of that and really being disciplined on that, you know. And I ain't gonna lie, it's hard for me because I love me some bread.
I mean, we all do. Yeah, I mean, but it's already programmed in it. There's no way around it.
We're used to it.
Yeah.
We're used to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So now it's just about really, truly engaging people where they're at and being mindful that we're not going to have all the answers. We're not going to solve it all today. You know, we're not going to just automatically just again turn the light on and then everybody's not going to go to their own corner.
Right.
You know, so it's about us standing in the light. Mm-hmm. Right. And truly being like a force so people can gravitate to our energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll start to, as you start to perpetuate good energy and start to show people like you putting on this thing every month where you got folks coming together, different businesses coming together, and they're able to display themselves within our local community. Now they're seeing that energy and it's jarring to jive and gyrate. And people like, wow, there's hope.
Yeah.
I can.
There's unity.
And there's an initiative that the mayor is showing, and we're right behind them, that everyone's important. You know, we're trying to lead by example and let everybody know, and they can see by what's being put down right now. Everybody's important. Everybody's included. Nobody's excluded. And everybody got a shot at the dream, whatever you want to try to do, anything you was held back from in the past, you know what I mean? We're pulling together trying to help each other and lift each other up to the next level,
right.
No matter what it is that you're trying to do.
Hustle and motivate, boy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I wonder, what is the vision that you see for the city of Inkston? Because I remember the, 1992.
I remember free lunch.
You
know, every school, every vocation Bible school.
I remember that.
Vocational Bible school. You know, I remember
right, I remember the vocational buses that picked Bible you school. Up and took you to church.
Yeah, you had to learn something.
Vocational Bible.
You had no choice. Exactly. If you wanted to go get your free lunch, you had to go. Right. You had to go to Seventh-day Adventist, or you had to go to the other church, or you go to the schools or the park.
Right.
Get you a trip on the end of the summer.
Right. I mean, we looked forward to that kids, though. That's it gave us something to do instead of just sitting at home. And it wasn't sitting at home then.
But to tell you the truth, that type of thing's still going on, but it's all about the parents keeping their children involved, If the parents are letting the children just raise themselves with their phones and their computers and in their room with the door locked, trying not to see what's going on in the house, that's the type of thing that's going to happen, If they take them to the activities that's going on, even in the city right now, we have several activities for the children, but it's all about the parents and community pooling out and carpool or whatever you got to do to get the children out.
Yeah, man, and I mean, True is setting a good example. The wonderful thing that I really love about Inkster, and then like even the spirit now of Inkster, is that everybody's saying, I remember when it used to be like, man, I love when we used to go here, or when we used to do that, or when this was open, or when that was open, So when we talk about the vision of the city of Inkster, like the most important thing for me to embody, because like me, I'm futuristic, like I'm looking at 21st century Inkster. Right. When we talk about Inkster Technical School District, just safer streets all around as it relates to right now we're initiating a program called the Inkster Spotlight. So it's kind of like the green light in the city of Detroit, but it's going to be like a yellow light, and it's going to be like, caution, be safe. Take your time. It's a yellow light.
Don't rush.
So because Inkster's still like a home, country town. We're right in the middle of the city. It's a village town. And it's a real, it really has a heartbeat. So when you hear people talk about, man, I love Inkster, but that's the part for me. Right. So I'm like, well, what's the but? Crime and the perception of crime. Mm-hmm. No schools. And the perception of no schools, knowing that historically we've always had schools in the city of Inkster, but because of segregation and understanding that we're 6.2 square miles and literally in a box, that we've had on north side of Michigan Avenue, we've always had Westland Public School District. On the other side of Inkster Road, we always had Westwood Public School District with Robichaud Bulldogs. They still there. The Westland, the Rockets, the Zebras, then of course Rumless, the Eagles are there, and then we have AIA, So, it's sad and it's disheartening when we talk about no education in the city of Inkster, because there is. We have awesome STEM programs that's happening in the city of Inkster, right on the corner of Carlisle and Henry. Operation Refuge is doing some phenomenal stuff over there with the girls over the STEM camp each year. And it's a wraparound program all year. AIA, we went into a school, American International. We were blew away.
Yeah, greeted almost by robots going in there.
Everything high tech. So it's like the message, and truly, the developing the message and making sure that the message is consistent, that everybody can say the message. I love Inkster because. And when you talk about successful communities, that's the vision. Having a successful community where everybody can say, I love Inkster because. Not, I love Inkster and I remember when it was, but it is. And oh my God, Inkster.
Exactly.
Because Inkster, when I say that, it has some phenomenal people that have come from Inkster, that's still in Inkster, that's all about Inkster. So I'm like putting a charge out to everybody. So I'm taking everywhere I can go, I'm putting a charge out to anybody. Hey, you love Inkster. You from Inkster. You've been in Inkster. You're about Inkster, whatever it is. Come on home with me. Be part of the Mayor's Alumni Club. We're going to start building Inkster in such a way where we'll have cultural arts within our whole community. Talking about truly setting our history, where we had so much. So
Let me say Luther King's community history.
Malcolm X.
The Marvelettes.
The Marvelettes.
I mean, when we talk about
my
the Marvelettes.
Friend of mine is Lehman Young.
Yeah, we always talk about that. You talk about the Marvelettes having the first gold album from Motown.
Mm-hmm. And that's still there.
Right.
Well, Lehman's mother was one of them. She's still there.
Right? So it's like.
It's a lot of history.
It's a lot of history. You know, we had the first.
Is it Carl Carlton from out there?
Oh, come on, man.
Carl Carlton.
Talk about Carl Carlton. So, I mean, you know, Don Barton. I mean, hey.
Comcast is basically.
Comcast.
That's Barton.
Come on, Tyrone Wheatley. I mean, come on. Albert White. I mean, you know.
Albert White.
Yes. Albert White. Barry Hardy. I mean, come on. We can just keep naming people.
What's the other Hardy? What's the brother name? All right. All the Hardy boys.
You know, but it's just really important for us to start to display ourselves in such a way. So when we talk about the vision of Inkster, it's something that's practical. It's something that's attainable. You know, so when we look at Dearborn to the east of us and look at Wayne to the west of us, and we see Michigan Avenue and they're developing up, and then you get to Inkster and it's evident that you arrived in Inkster, you know, because, you know, it's destitute when you talk about businesses, you know, and it, you know, oh boy. But anyway, you know. It's pride. It's pride.
Yeah, it is.
Right? But we have, I believe that we have such a unique opportunity, because now we can take what we believe and what we see and craft it all together and make it display for other people to see. We had an international airport.
Right.
We have Michigan Avenue touching Ann Arbor with Chicago,
right,
all the way up to downtown Detroit to Port Huron. I mean, you know, so Inkster Road runs through like 9 communities, you know. I mean, what other city you know that has a name,
right,
you know, that runs through 9 other communities, you know?
That's right.
So it's like for us, we have to really start to create that synergy where the vision is safer streets for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaner streets, number one. And we ain't talking about safety like clean. We're talking about safety and clean. Like, truly, taking care of pride. I had a young lady tell me on the campaign trail. She was like 15 years old. And I think you guys remember we were all sitting in, and I'm asking the young people, you know, what they like to see. And I just had to sit back, because the young lady said to me, she said, well, Patrick, I love Inkster, but why should I care as a kid when the adults don't care?
Yeah.
They don't care how the houses look. They don't care how the businesses look. They don't care when they go into these stores and see the Lucy's and the crack pipes and the rotten food. That's right. You know?
Right. Yeah, outdated everything.
And that was, you know, one thing. I was just telling, you know, I work in a middle school here in the Midtown, you know, DMC area of Detroit, University Prep. And I was just telling my students today about community, you know, and how community, I feel like we don't understand, our young people maybe, and some of us older ones don't understand, that when you want to see better, you have to actually participate in making it better. Yeah. So I'm trying to let them understand that I asked them what they felt like can be better in their community. And, you know, some of them said the potholes, this, and that. So I'm trying to get them to see, you have
yet.
To. Exactly. But they feel them.
They feel them.
And I want them to understand that they have to be the ones to create these programs to get these things started. They, like, it's neighborhoods around here that have their own gardens and their promoting healthy eating. They're making sure the parks are clean. They're keeping, letting these drug dealers and gang members know, you need to back up with this. Not around here. We have children here. This is supposed to be a safe area. You need to find something else or somewhere else to do all of that. And even if, and that's even inner city policing on your own blocks, you know, going outside. And because some of these people you've already known since they were children, that you should not be, you know, I understand it's a crazy time, but I've always been raised to old school way, and I don't care how old you are, you're younger than me, you don't disrespect me.
That's right.
Period.
Yeah. That's
right. And I feel like if I have to remind you the old grandma way, then that's what I'm gonna do. But they, it's right. A level of respect, and it's boundaries.
That's right.
And bringing those things back into the community. And we need to understand, my peers as well, that it starts with us. We can't complain about
it.
You step up. If you see you know, an ethnic person or whoever coming into your neighborhood and they're selling things or they're doing things and mistreating your people, that you, I would protest, don't, you're not selling.
And that's, you know, what need to be done, exactly, right now, where we stand.
I've done that to an ice cream truck.
But see, a lot of, times, though, what you have to do, you have to have something to replace that. You just can't tell them to stop doing something and you have nothing to give them.
Yeah.
So that's where, again, back it goes to creating your own product and doing
And it's not
thing.
As hard. You know, we have different systems. Yeah, I remember the penny candy house that was in the store that had the chips and the candy and the juices. You could just walk up and grab, you know. You don't have to go to the corner store and get them 50 cent, the gas station either. Get them 50 cent for a bag of chips when we could go to Sam's Club and get our bulk items just as well. Create a business with them where we can get a discount. You know, go to Gleaners and get some of these items.
I think it's something about, I don't know. Right, I don't know if it's a Michigan thing or something, but if you go to other states, they're hustling everything.
Come on now,
they're selling Fruities in the middle of the street in Chicago. They're selling walking tacos at that house on the side, that auntie's house in Chicago.
I was in Utah and they were selling enchiladas.
Yeah.
Just like out in the Walmart parking lot.
In California, they're selling chopped up fruit. The Mexicans are chopping up the fruit right there for you, putting sauce on it. And you can get some corn from them right there, right then and there. Like not worrying about pride or not worrying about what you think of them.
Yeah.
But I think it's like you say, it's systemic. It's embedded in some of us, but some of us it's not. I don't know why that is. I don't think if it's statewide, is it per state? Because if you go anywhere else, they're doing something. They're under the tree selling jungle juices in Florida.
The culture. Right.
You know, conk. Yep. You can get a cup of conk.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
You can get a cup of boiled peanuts anywhere else. In Georgia,
you know,
and Florida, that's
some of those places
you
talking about is a lot of immigrants. Those are large immigrant cities like
Haitians,
New York,
Jamaicans,
and Florida, and they gonna get their money.
New York,
they
as
gonna
well.
Come. Yeah, that's what's in New York,
big city like that.
Chicago.
I think a lot of times too, it's just the mentality of comfortability.
Yeah,
because when you're in Florida or when you're in New York, you know you gotta get it.
You gotta understand.
Yeah, you gotta get that money.
You know that. That's a different understanding.
It's a hustle. It's different.
It's a different environment. You know, like you can't. Sometimes we try to say it's cultural, but sometimes I think it's just embedded in some of us, or it's you have to get it out your mind that this ain't the way it goes. You have to travel. This is one of my main things. You have to travel. I get your life is my moniker. And I use those words not just to tell people to, you know, get your life. No, get your life is mean you have to understand your life. If you don't understand your life, you won't get it. You won't understand it. What am I supposed to do with myself? But you have to get it first. You have to go somewhere and understand, like, wow, that's amazing. I should be doing that. You know, but if you never know exactly what you're supposed to be doing or getting in your head about yourself, you'll never understand what you are supposed to do. And some of us never get outside of our medium.
Yeah. I think a good thing to do
Stuck in where we at.
I think a good thing to do is go somewhere where they don't know your name.
Yeah.
Just to start. You know what I'm saying? So you have to start all over.
Like you say, Courtney, Utah. I don't know many people go to Utah. But I bet it was an experience.
People.
It was some stuff that you seen there that you maybe were like, wow, I've never seen this. This is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of people that just actually probably don't want to work in Utah, don't want to do anything in Utah. But it's just like to see what's going on in Utah could take you somewhere else. They take your mentality to another level. You know what I mean? Like, wow.
That's right. Because while we wrapped up in the neighborhood, everyone get caught up with their environmental circumstances, man. If you're seeing this every day and you notice what's going on, there's no way you can get around it. You know, if you're stepping out the door and you got all the custos on your door and the rollers on your door and you can't even get out, you got to knock past them just to get off your porch and all that type of stuff, sooner or later, you're going to get involved in it. They're going to get taken out your eyesight of what you see every day.
That's what some kids go
to. You know what I mean?
A lot of kids.
As an educator, I see that a lot.
You don't get a chance to grow. You're stuck. And sooner or later, you know, if you don't get any exposure to something better, you're going to get wrapped up into the same thing because, you know, you want to get off craps.
Right.
You don't want your family looking at you like, You know, like if you're married, you don't want your wife feeling, you know, he not contributing.
Yeah.
And so you have to, sometimes you do have to adapt to your environment. Mm-hmm. But after so long,
but
it's
when
like
other things going on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You can be doing a lot of other things.
That's right.
Creating.
They got to be exposed to other things that's going on. But
exactly.
A lot of areas. But nowadays, they're doing a lot of exposing and bringing up a lot of programs. But beforehand, within the last, like,
Like I was talking with the mayor, we were talking a while back, and I, you know, like I tell him, a lot of people, you know you guys, right? So a lot of people know y'all. So they expect y'all to here. They're expecting you guys here. They don't want to work for it.
Yes.
Right.
They expecting, okay, that's Pat. It's my boy Pat, man.
He gonna hand it out.
You know, man, you got me. That's T.Y. That's Gary, man. Mm-hmm. That's Rod. That's T.Y., man. Mm-hmm. Man, I know I can call. You know, without putting in any work.
Yeah. That's real. There is no self-responsibility.
It's
entitlement.
It goes back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Self-responsibility.
And
that's the whole thing about titles. Like, one of the things I like to do, me personally, is I don't like titles. Mm-hmm. I think title holds no weight. You know what I'm saying? It's about your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. That's just me, though.
I just always
say that. That is just you.
That's
just
me. I'm just messing with you.
But no, seriously, no disrespect at all. But, you know, it's just when we truly talk about us as a people and getting back to that, we have to be the example, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you be the change you want to see,
right?
You know, and everybody keeps saying that, be the change you want to be, mm-hmm. the change you want to see, you know. But what are we really doing? So I get that, with, right. even
that's
with the title.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
even
what
with
I'm
the
saying. That's what I'm. That's what I was basically
saying.
Getting at.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing? Like, okay, I am the mayor,
right?
You know. But what do you want me to help you with?
Exactly. There you go.
I mean, I can. Okay.
You got a proposal.
I hand you this.
I hand you this,
mm-hmm. and then what?
I can't do it for you.
What do you do with it when I hand it to you?
And are you qualified?
Are you qualified?
Right.
You may get me in trouble.
Wow.
Well, that ain't gonna happen.
I mean, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm making hand you something, and you fumble the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's trouble for me. I don't need trouble like that. I don't. It's not. It's not a that type of bad trouble. But to me, a tarnish is trouble.
That's true.
That's right.
This is true.
You know, you put a blemish on me, I don't need blemishes.
Mm-hmm.
I need a clear window.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be able to see through it. I want to be able for you to be able to see through it and come back through it sometimes. You know, you know, but some people just think you're supposed to just, you know. And I think that's a systemic problem as well. I call it I get the hookup syndrome.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no doubt.
I got the hookup.
But you know what?
He my homeboy.
And
we went to high school.
I have to say this, too, though.
I ain't seen you since high school.
I have to say this, too, right. though. It's like even with us, though, too, like we're a little bit easier on our kids
mm-hmm.
than our parents were.
Right. Yeah.
Because 100%. Of technology or because the world is moving
get
so
out my
fast.
Face.
And then as it relates to other cultures, too, like my family, love my Italian brothers and sisters.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Family, love my Arabic brothers and sisters. Chaldeans, love my Chaldeans brothers and sisters. But I'm telling you like this, they got their kids working.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Their kids are working.
Magic.
You know, it's like in the business.
Everybody.
So
mm-hmm.
if it's the gas station,
they're in
there
12 hours.
Little kids.
They in there 12 hours a day.
You That's what I'm trying to say. I have a
no
teenage
doubt.
Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
May not look and you know, it was since she was like 10 or 9, literally, even her classmates was like, why you gonna get her an iPhone? Get her an iPhone. I'm like, she's 10?
I got a 5-year-old with one right now in my
they
class.
They had them.
Wow.
They had them. Birthday parties, brand new. Even now, mm-hmm. they come 6th grade, 7th grade, they got brand new iPhone 11s. And my daughter still has a 6. And
yeah.
I just feel like you have to earn it.
That's right.
Because it doesn't come easy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't come easy for me. It won't come easy for you. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like you said parents set their kids up and not even tell them that. Like right now, your parents take care of you. So you're going to have the new Jordans.
Right.
You're going to have a new phone. But it's going to come a time when you're going to be 18, 19. And
they're
going to be like, you grown. You doing
zone.
This.
Now,
yeah.
Now you set them up for failure.
And
exactly.
we see a lot of our peers
exactly.
that got spoiled like that.
Yeah.
They grow up and they bum somebody.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know where to start. Yeah, because they never had to work. Like
mm-hmm.
you said, they didn't have to work for it. So
mm-hmm.
it's definitely important to let
mm-hmm.
people know we all had to crawl before we walk. You got to step in the mud sometimes. You got to work and earn your keep
because
you won't get it from
me.
Yeah.
Well,
and
we as parents want our kids to have what we didn't have.
And that's understandable.
So we set them up for more
mm-hmm.
and without asking them to
earn it.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it sets them up in the long run for failure when they should work for what mm-hmm. they get. As we was growing up as kids, our parents, if we went out there, cut the grass, we got our allowance right. and took the trash out, we get our allowance.
Mm-hmm.
I spent $20 bringing my kids home from school, just mm-hmm. on food and whatever else they need to stop at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Get home and the dishes ain't washed.
Exactly.
And the floors ain't clean and they sleep. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. It is unfortunately, it's a lot like that. And I think it's because times are moving fast. A lot of us, we working and we tired. And
not
just
paying
like,
attention.
Exactly. It's just like the day is just.
We want our me time.
Yeah.
But let me say this, and we have to get back to this, and this is one of the most important things we talk about, truly building a successful community. And I think we've all said it. You got to give them something.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about building the city of Inkster in particular, we have to have economic opportunities mm-hmm. to build legacy
yes.
wealth within our community. We have to give ourselves an opportunity to do business mm-hmm. with one another and teach each other how to do business
mm-hmm.
with
right.
one
mm-hmm.
another
yeah, that's
and
true.
Do good business mm-hmm. with one another, you know? Because we've all had that experience with somebody from our community where it's like, you know, hey, I want to give them a chance to do business, but they just don't know how to do business.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about education, that's one of the other components. As we
right.
talk about WC3D mm-hmm. coming in, EMU coming in, also Morehouse College coming in and being a satellite location within our community, mm-hmm. we're reaching out to Illich right now. I'm
right.
putting it out there. Business school.
Laying it out.
We're putting it to business school. We want a satellite location in Inkster.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to really start to create economic opportunities for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not feeding them, like you said, we take away the food
mm-hmm.
or how they eat. But then
but
you don't give them anything
them
else.
Another mm-hmm. option.
That's where we fail. And that's where we've been failing,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a community, you know.
Yeah.
Because we know that there's some places there's people looking like us. Like in Atlanta,
oh, yeah.
winning.
Texas, you
yes.
know, come on,
yes.
Cali,
yeah.
parts of Cali.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's places,
yeah.
you know, Southfield, close. Come on, it's
come
places.
On, right.
yeah. it's
places
the,
you wouldn't think. Kansas City.
See, exactly. Right. Where people are actually.
North Carolina.
You don't think Charlotte is booming.
But
Charlotte
tricked,
is booming.
But we're tricked
mm-hmm.
because our leaders, we're not holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, hey, you hold me accountable, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Right.
right.
And what is the plan? And how does the plan look? And is it beneficial for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody matters. Everybody
yeah.
counts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we know everybody don't want to be a business owner.
Right.
We know that everybody don't want to create their own, you know, opportunities.
Yeah.
Some people want to just, at the same time, work
Learn.
Their wage, make a good living to be able to take care of their mm-hmm. families.
And not even just a good living, like a living to actually survive. You can't even afford rent on minimum wage right now. And to think that, you know, you can't even afford rent and then you have other utilities and bills and you have kids
and you gotta eat.
Oh, it's tough.
And then that's
and
what
you look good.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah.
okay.
But then those same people are now doing the drug dealing and, you know,
yeah.
trying to do these little illegal things on the side because
mm-hmm.
they have no
scamming
other option.
And all other stuff, no doubt.
Trying to add.
That's true.
Some people are utilizing their education for
other purposes.
Other purposes.
Mm-hmm. I would
because
so,
I can't
so,
find a job.
And
yeah.
so what economic programs are you bringing to the city of Inkster?
Well, as it relates to just programming, we'll just program anybody. But, you know, we definitely want to bring opportunities. And let me say this, that opportunities are definitely on the horizon because
okay.
I believe that not only can you create something, man, like you already started to create an economic opportunity
yeah.
or economic
program,
if you will, right?
Yeah.
So for me, what I want to do with this administration is identify every single property in Inkster that's a commercial property, right?
Mm-hmm.
and be able to have an idea behind that property. So if that property is vacant, I want to say, okay, remember that used to be the old Kurtz barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Who doing barbecue out here on these corners? Because we got
mm-hmm.
the corner people that's
it's
actually
a bunch of
them. Right, right.
Good
so
food.
It's like, okay, well, how do I get them
to see
that
yeah.
to be able to put or to partner with
right.
someone
mm-hmm.
to actually come in? Because sometimes, you know, the guys on the corner, they just on the corner and they selling
that's what
they want to do.
Right.
But it's like if they were approached with an opportunity with, you know, a person that has a
vision.
You know, there you go.
Right?
It all comes together. So when you talk about, like, opportunities for me to create economic opportunities, I'm trying to
set up folks to now say, okay, we want to. I love Power. Food. I love Food Max. Let me put a shout out to Food Max.
Okay, definitely.
But as it relates to having our own market in the city of Inkster, maybe even a whole food market in the city of Inkster, a market that's centrally located in the city of Inkster, mm-hmm. we know that we don't necessarily have that, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to create an opportunity where we co-opt that. Mm-hmm. We use crowdfunding as a tool. To actually be able to actually say, hey, you want to own something, you want to own something, you want to own something. You don't necessarily have to operate it,
yeah.
but here's the package.
Mm-hmm. You're a part of it.
Because mm-hmm. I even have a vision of a community yes. pool.
Yeah.
In
Inkster. Yeah,
y'all
kids
go in the summer, have fun.
Well, we have one at the rec. So we have one at the rec complex. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's not working right now, but that's one of the things that I'm going to be pushing mm-hmm. for to be able to get it open. And we know that the bottom line is everything is money. You know,
right.
now the city and the city is not the end all.
Right.
You know, the city, when you talk about being a municipality, it's a business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's in the business of collecting taxes so we mm-hmm. can supply the essentials to our citizens, mm-hmm. police, fire. Rescue, if that's the component that we're mm-hmm. doing, and we actually do a pretty good job within the city of Inkster through EMT and that. Also, Parks and Rec, DPS, which is the Department of Public Safety, the guys that's actually out there shoveling your snow mm-hmm. and all that trash pickup. You know, those are the things. Thank you, sir. Those are the things that we're responsible for. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. because of Inkster and how it's uniquely placed. And because of the opportunity that we have where everything is right around and is bubbling around us, now if the city sees opportunities where we can help folks through our community block grant, mm-hmm. setting up our community block grant funds instead of taking those funds and using them to tear buildings down, we're using them to help with a facade improvement program mm-hmm. or program to help fix businesses up or build businesses up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do.
I wanted to know how is your Inkster's mm-hmm. relationship with the surrounding cities that they be so close, downtown yeah. Dearborn, and you know, we got Westland and the.
Oh, y'all want to talk a little? I see y'all.
Yeah,
y'all
right hand man. And you know, especially with the law enforcement, yeah. I would like to add being
like
sometimes
have
an issue with the different police.
Yeah,
in
take
different
it, coming
cities,
into our
coming
city
in
now.
And, you know, just what is the relationships with these cities?
I think let me handle this question here, y'all. So it's like a two-part question, right? So let me say that right off, I have a wonderful relationship with Mayor Wild out of Westland. Mm-hmm. And I know that's who we're talking about, you know,
right.
Exactly. Because Westland is right on our borders. And sometimes the policing on Westland is, I believe, is targeted. You know, mm-hmm. and it's been said
for
through
sure.
the NAACP that is definitely they feel like that Inkster has been targeted. Our mm-hmm. citizens, as they come through that Henry Ruff and Michigan Avenue corridor, mm-hmm. that people are actually pulled over. But I know all types of people that's actually getting pulled
exactly.
over through that corridor. It's just what it is, mm-hmm. you know, really, to be honest. So when you talk about the relationship with law enforcement and other communities, I believe it's for the public, it's fractured. Mm-hmm. For the government, which relates to the city of Inkster, I believe it hasn't been truly built in a way that it's respected because mm-hmm. it's just run amok. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, you got Dearborn Heights on one side and, you know, it's like, you know, we know that in the city of Inkster, we're building our police force and the police chief and the assistant chief. They're actually doing a phenomenal
awesome.
Job right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Awesome.
And they're getting the cars out there. And we know that the state police have been in our community for the last 10 some odd years. Mm-hmm. We know that the Wayne County sheriffs, they've been policing it too. But what we haven't done as leaders, I believe, in the capacity as mayor and the council, is said that this is the culture that we want to see as it relates to our people and how our people are being treated, mm-hmm. How situations are being addressed, with respect to Westland, respect to Dearborn Heights, Taylor, Romas, whoever. If you come in our city and you pull somebody over, you call in the Inkster PD
mm-hmm.
and saying to the Inkster PD, hey, this is what we got.
Mm-hmm.
We need you on the scene. Can you help? With the state police actually understanding community policing mm-hmm. and the approach of community policing, and knowing too that we got to take responsibility exactly. for ourselves.
Right. That's right.
Because as men, and it ain't nothing right. to our queens, because mm-hmm. I love our women in our community. I ain't talking about just black people, because mm-hmm. Inkster's a pretty diverse community.
Right.
But I'm talking about all of our men mm-hmm. within our community
yep.
standing up for what's right, saying that we're not going to tolerate this in our community mm-hmm. and then being about action.
Exactly.
All of the marching is great. All of the prayer mm-hmm. meetings are great. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what are you doing when you see something's happening?
Exactly.
Like you said earlier mm-hmm. on, you know, as a young lady coming up, mm-hmm. you know, how you were raised, right? And then saying too, yep, if I see it, I'm going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just imagine how powerful it is when we say something as men.
Exactly. Other men holding
in
other
a group
men accountable.
As well. Not
Absolutely.
Just one man.
Exactly.
In a group.
Exactly. Because you have some men in some mentality now. It's like, oh, them young boys wild. Them young boys crazy. Oh, man. They, but what are you willing to stand up for?
Right.
Wow.
And some of them really just mean, a lot of times, it's just about an understanding. And sometimes you have to get, you know, young men and young women to understand things on a level that they can actually understand.
My fathers and all that, grandfathers and all that, they spoke up. Get the fuck off that porch.
Right.
Get the hell out that street.
That's right. Don't step on my grass.
Don't step on my grass. You better,
you better not step on my grass.
Get touch my car again.
Right. And it was you know? And they were respected.
And respected. It was without a whooping mm-hmm. or anything. It was you know that's grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa don't play.
But
don't
like
touch
I
his
said.
Car. Don't get on his grass. Don't eat his plate out the refrigerator. Don't drink that juice. Mm-hmm. That's his.
But the difference now, it seems like our younger men don't know how to handle
emotions.
Yes, they can't conflict. Handle conflict, and they can't handle their emotions.
They
and so the next yeah, and so the next step is, oh, let me grab my gun real quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll handle this. I'll never hear another word from him ever again.
Yeah, but that's part that.
Yeah.
Now you take away the guns, now what you got?
Mm-hmm.
Because prison gonna do that for you,
mm-hmm.
or the grave
mm-hmm.
gonna
exactly.
do that for you.
Yep.
So now when you take the guns away, and you got to possibly put the gloves on,
mm-hmm.
you probably need mm-hmm. a you probably need an outcry. You probably need a place for him to
or a male role model.
Maybe need a fight club.
A male role model.
Yeah, we got
a boxing club.
We do actually have a boxing club at the Inkster Recreation Complex.
Okay,
you know, we gonna start promoting those.
Yeah, if you gotta be with somebody, go take it to the ring.
I got a few questions.
Let that aggression out.
My question was, some people ask, what do they have to do to become an alumni?
Oh, man, please, just friend me on Facebook, DM me. Is that what you say, DM?
Oh,
yeah. Somebody named Diana Riley, she says.
Oh, Diana, yeah, for
she
sure.
She said, where do we find the information about becoming a part of the...
Let me say this. I'm just creating this right now as we're talking, Diana Riley. It's we've been talking about, January the 29th, we'll be doing another community outreach at the Inkster Recreation Complex. That's on Middle Belt Road. What is that? 2025 Middle Belt Road. That from 6 to 8 o'clock, we're actually saying to you, what's your issue? But not only what's your issue, how do you help us solve it? Because
mm-hmm.
we can't. You know, you can't bring us as the mayor. People bring me their issues all day.
Right.
Mayor, I got this issue. Mayor, I got this issue. And they want me to solve it. But now right. I'm saying, well, you got to come and you got to solve it. So as we're talking, and I've been talking about the Mayor's Alumni Club, I'm going to be rolling that out on January 29th okay. so people can actually come and sign up, understand what it is, looking at it, because I believe, again, that if we – it don't make a difference
where
you
What was that date
at.
Again?
Yep.
January 29th?
January
29th. Okay. Inkster Alumni Club.
There you go.
There you go.
It's not called the Inkster
I mean,
Alumni
I'm just
Club.
Gonna, I'm just giving it a little plug. Plug. Yeah, give it a little plug.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. You
see, also – What type of programs will you be having for kids for after school? Also for
yes.
also what will you be having for women?
Yeah, so let
like
me,
programs, you know, self defense.
Yeah,
some women are having on hard times out here a lot.
Chime
and
in community
self,
liaison right. as well.
Yeah,
yeah and if anyone listening yeah. in
like,
the city is
like,
interested in got skills, need to put those forward.
Like women, need like you know, some women are living in housing.
Mm-hmm.
Some women should own homes.
Yeah.
Right.
How do we get to a program for some women to get out these apartments
yep.
and get out these $800, $900 apartments and get their own place.
Yeah, how do we're actually starting to create that right now through the Inkster Housing.
Okay.
I mean, Inkster Housing actually has a program right now that we're starting to connect, and we just started talking about it preliminarily about, what, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks.
When we were talking about the Section 8 program, you actually have a Section 8 voucher to home ownership.
Okay.
Moving out of public housing.
Yeah, moving out of public housing, going right into
to home ownership. Not just Section 8. Not renting.
Not Section 8, not renting, but home ownership.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. When we talk about like self-defense, we do have some folks that's been talking about actually coming together.
Okay.
Ray Gray, I give him a shout out because he's definitely looking at the rec complex right now.
You know, with the women, with the sex trafficking
and
all that stuff going on out there.
NAN is actually, Will Miller, the president of NAN, is actually giving out the pepper spray.
Okay.
And all of that, they're actually rolling that part out. After school right now at the East Recreation Complex, we have the We Rise program that's actually looking for volunteers every day at 4:30 at the East Recreation Complex. They have about, 40 to 50 kids that's coming from all of the other school districts. It's actually being bused in. Rumless, hats out to Rumless, Ed Martell, president over there, is actually transporting the kids from school to home in the city of Inkster. And we have a Boy Scout and Girl Scout Club in the city of Inkster. So it's things that we're actually doing. Mm-hmm. We just got to start talking about them in a positive light.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I'm going to be doing with this administration, is that we're going to be focusing in, and through our social equity liaison, we're actually rolling out a program where we're asking everybody, if you see any negative stuff on the social, on the internet about Inkster, mark it and take it down and put something up positive. Because everything that we see now, when you go about the city of Inkster, number one thing is crime and is negative. And we know that it's so much positive stuff going on in the city of Inkster. Just like what you guys are doing now.
Right.
I mean, you guys are representing the town.
Really.
I had to bring you guys in. It wouldn't have been right without you all coming in.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, we got she's got Juelle Jones coming in.
Hopefully next
week.
Oh, he everywhere. Yeah. That's my man. He texted me this morning, told me, I said, can I get a key to the rec? I'm about to start working out in the morning. But he don't know that I got a young man by the name of Armand Harris from
Armand.
Right? Jabs Gym?
Jabs. I've been to Jabs.
Jabs going
to
start.
Shout out Armand.
Jabs looking for a spot in Inkster.
Awesome.
We're about to push this initiative, you know, healthy living for all.
Yeah.
You know, across the board, you know, mentally, physically, you know, financially, you know, spiritually, you know.
And that's a good thing, mental health, that you brought that up.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, mental health is a big deal.
Big deal.
And I know in a lot of cities, Detroit, too, is lacking when it comes to facilities and, you know, different programs to assist with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know lately it's been a lot of labeling and, you know, diagnosis on our young, you know, African American children and other Hispanic, just brown minority people.
IEPs.
Yeah, IEPs.
Individual education plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that?
It's like the same thing that you would call like special ed kids.
Oh, okay.
They just need a little different education.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So modifications or recommendations.
Money.
Accommodations. That's
money
what you do.
I mean, I have worked with children with IEPs.
And you work
often.
In school as well, Gordon.
Yes,
right?
Elementary school.
You work with
school.
Those type of students? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got three of them in our class right now.
Okay.
But it's just,
so
I feel
do
like.
They?
And sometimes it's just, you know, it could be behavior, it could be cognitive, it could be, you know, maybe they don't know how to read. Maybe it's
learning
just
curve.
Different. Yeah, okay. Learning curve.
Yes.
Okay. Or let me say this. They actually learn it so fast that they're not engaged.
They
don't keep their attention.
Wow.
You know, because we know that, you know, as African Americans, we learn different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and it's just what it is. I mean, you know, when you talk about the studies, when we talk about the brain and how the brain operates, it just operates differently for us, you know. So we learn through rhythm. That's why all our kids know all the songs.
Exactly.
Know all the lyrics to the songs. So just imagine if Drake did a math song, Drake.
Teachers are taking these songs and turning them into something else. I know a while ago, Cardi B came out with the song, and a third grade teacher changed it for her social studies class.
And had them excelling.
Yeah, and all the kids knew the song. They had the little dance going on with it.
Yeah,
but it was teaching at the same time.
Yeah,
and shout out to Mr. E at UPrep too. He has different raps, math raps, and he does YouTube videos as well. To engage in learning through hip-hop and things of that nature.
You think you can have, you're going to have something like that to teach the kids?
For mental health?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I'm going to say this to you. As we're talking, I love what you said. Mm-hmm. If you have that capability, chime in. Get with us because we're opening up Inkster. Inkster's open for business. Inkster's open up just for just all social equity piece. And it just makes sense for us within our community. We know we had some great programs within our community. Starfish Family Services, Hygera being one in our community. Truth Recovery, Marla Wheeler Edwards. Edwards Wheeler is, you know, the trustee over at WC3D that actually brought in our program over into to the city of Inkster, bringing the college back into the district. Into back to Inkster. She has a wonderful program as it relates to mental health. We know that it's important for us to attack it from every single angle. So it's just not one program that'll work, you know?
Right.
We got to have us all working together and then put it into this big bowl and see what we can come out with, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like a good program. Yeah, it does take unity. Mm-hmm. And that's like what he said, if you have the skills, I guess if you have a business in the city of Inkster, you can contribute to the, you know, revitalization or the upbringing of it.
I'm actually having another meetup Link Up Business Mixer, February 9th.
February 9th.
From 2 to 7.
2 to 7.
It's free. Come post up. Bring your stuff. If you got clothing, if you I don't care if you're a contractor, a plumber.
Location.
Demolition.
It's that 272.
29275.
29275 Cherry Hill.
Yeah, right.
29275 Cherry Hill. Again, a business meetup, link up, mixer. It's free. Come, and also Big Mike, your friend Big Mike will be selling.
That's my cousin.
Yeah, your cousin. He'll be selling. He'll be out there selling food at that day as well.
And this weekend too, just in case, since we on this
trail. Okay, this weekend as well. 29275 Jerk Chicken. Chicago Jerk. Come on down. But I'll be having a business mixer, so if you guys have a any type of business, come on down, post up for free. We have light refreshments, you know, cocoa, donuts for you guys, but you can come set your table up for free and possibly get, you know, I don't know, link up with other businesses. I just wanted to try to build a business community amongst ourselves where we can start networking with one another. I also have we have a guy that just got his place, but he's rented the place, but he hasn't had it
renovated
and done things like that. But it's some things that we need to link him up with that possibly could come in and help him renovate.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's what we have to do.
You know what I mean? So,
well, I'm about to actually roll out a program, and I'm putting this out. Some people say don't put the cart before the horse, but hey, I'm the mayor. So, in the city of Inkster, you know, truly being open for business, what I'm looking at, because the what I've heard from the business community, the folks within the community doing business already, and then people trying to come into the community doing business, is that it's so hard to get through the process as it relates to the city of Inkster, right? So what I want to do is take all of that tape down and say this. If you have a business and you identify a structure, and the structure is safe, number one, it has to be safe. And, of course, we want it to be appealing as possible when you're going in to do business, because curb appeal means so much. When you talk about raising the values of our properties within the community, we got to raise the pride also, too, within our spirit, right? So when I walk into a really nice business, I'm feeling great, you know, especially if it's in the city of Inkster. So what I'm proposing is this, is that as long as you have an edifice, it looks good. It's safe, number one. You walk in, you open. Wow. As long as the building inspector comes in and say that this is a safe place, and then the mayor or the planner, whoever we decide is going to be that person, to sign off and say, hey, then you have 180 days to do those renovations that you're talking about.
Okay.
So while you're making money,
Yeah.
Then you can still be building.
Right.
All at the same time.
Because that's important.
So we got to get creative. We got
to
get
innovative. Some of those businesses are let y'all know we need sponsors up here.
Exactly. I'm waiting to see different Michigan Avenue. I mean, I enjoy it, but I would love, I want to ride down and see businesses and restaurants and give me a little, it's a strip, give me a strip vibe.
So I'm going to tell you the old lady, I'm going to give y'all a little nugget, I'm going to drop it for you.
Ooh, exclusive.
The old library, because people always talk about, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I like coffee, I guess, sometimes, but the old library. It because of the structure, how it's architecturally designed, and because of the Rouge River, and actually the Rouge actually opening up and going to have it's going to be dope right down there. We're going to have the first coffee house in the city of Inkster.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're
going
to turn it into the library, into the cultural arts
center.
There you go. And it'll actually have in there, hopefully we can put one of these little studios like this inside of there. And we'll have a coffee house right there at the old library. And it'll start really creating some synergy.
We have one of the creators in here of these studios. He's one of the creators.
We're starting to create that now. And it's like our own coffee house.
You guys need to actually talk after this.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. And I have to, let me say this. The census. 2020. Yeah, it's for everybody, every community.
Census 2020, you guys.
Census 2020 is the most important thing outside of the 2020 votes this year, 2020 elections. So we have to be mindful as a community. Everybody counts. Everybody matters. We need for you to stand up and be counted, because if you don't be counted, we lose money within our community. And it's going to just stagnate our growth. As we really talk about moving Inkster forward, we got to have you counted for 2020. And April is going to be the date that we're going to be doing all that.
So what is it that we could do to make sure that those votes come?
Take away the stigma from everyone thinking that being so scared that we on your trail, that your uncle stay in your basement, or your cousin from my, you know, everybody count. Like the mayor said, everybody count for the state of Michigan right now, and especially for the city of Inkster. Everybody count. Everybody must be counted. They're not going off all to your background or what you're doing
they
here.
Don't
none
care
of that.
About
they just want to. They want to count.
So you, as the community liaison, what is it that you propose that could be done to assure or to help assure that those votes are counted?
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to reach out to each one individually, house by house, person by person, and identify the ones that we know personally at first, and let everybody know and push the message that it's nothing to be afraid of. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And once we narrow it down to where we are and see who have been counted, we'll go out and get the rest. But we got to start somewhere. You can't just think and get everybody at one time. And we got a couple month period to get this done. And I believe we're going to be able to get it done because the community is engaged. And also right now, for a 2 month period, they're paying $21 to $25 to work for the census, just to go around and collect them information. So who in the world don't want to look at that $21 or $25? You automatically getting $21, but you can't get $25.
That's right. Listen, some money on the floor.
Yeah. Okay, job, census, 2020.
We definitely.
Now, can you put that on your resume after them 2 months? You don't work for the government.
Right.
I made $22. I'm worth $22. Let's
So let me say this, and I'm going to say this to you, Eve. So we're going to have us another pink party.
Oh, yeah, pink party every year.
A census party.
Pink party every year.
I was about to say, you better give out some hot dogs and some chips.
Pink party every year. Same time every year.
Yeah. Well, we definitely want to have you, Mayor Patrick, back, and your associates.
Tony Robb, Tyrus Wembley, and Gary Johnson.
Yes.
All
right.
Appreciate you guys coming in with the Mayor Patrick Wembley. Thank you guys for coming in.
We want to have you back.
For having us.
Thank you.
And super awesome.
You've been listening to the V-Life crew here on Podcast Detroit, and we'll get it back at you next Friday.
See you guys.
Love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Love you guys.